family picture frames.
Who are the people in yours? I'm Josh.
And I'm Christy. In This Together is a podcast where we discuss topics related to today's family. We also go behind the scenes to share stories from our own crooked picture frame.
And we interview guests to discover how their stories can give us insight on becoming families who live, love, and lead well.
Because you're not alone. We're in this together. Today's podcast is brought to you by 22-6 Parenting, an online community designed to help you disciple your kids to live, love, and lead well. Check it out at 226parenting.com. Welcome back to the In This Together podcast. Today, we are so thankful to have a friend and a mentor and probably a name that you might recognize on with us, Dr. John Townsend. John is a business consultant, a leadership coach, and a psychologist. He's written and co-written 30 books, including a New York Times bestseller, Boundaries, which probably a lot of you have maybe read.
Which has sold over 10 million copies.
10 million.
10 million copies. Seriously, like that's unbelievable. They just released the 25th anniversary edition of Boundaries last year. And that book, to be very honest, it was one of the most significant books. I read it in graduate school when I was going through my counseling program and my master's degree program. And that was one of the single biggest, most significant books that I read along my journey in becoming who I am today as a husband and a father.
It is a powerful book, and we've recommended it to, I don't know, even so many people. He's also written Leadership Beyond Reason and Handling Difficult People.
He writes a book a year almost.
Yeah.
Literally.
It's incredible. He is probably one of the wiser and warmer psychologists, leadership consultants, but just humans, I think, that we've had the opportunity to know.
Yeah, and we've had the privilege of being able to get to know him personally, he and his wife Barbie, through the years. And there's not many people who put a stamp on your life, who leave a lasting impression. I think you can count a handful of people throughout our lives that we have. He's one of those people in my life. And
remember when we went to the Grand Ole Opry?
We went to the Grand Ole Opry.
That was my first time I ever went there.
Yeah,
we went to the Grand Ole Opry with them.
And so I just, you know, there's so much. He's going to talk about the things he's doing right now in this episode. But today we are talking about entitlement in our kids, how not to raise entitled kids.
And it's a pretty powerful episode. I know you will come away, and it's really practical, tangible things that we can do as parents to raise kids who are not entitled. And I even asked him, what does that look like? Like, what's the opposite of entitled? So I'm excited for you to hear it. Here's our interview with Dr. John Townsend.
Welcome back to the In This Together podcast. I'm delighted today. I use the word delighted again in our...
You literally love that word.
I do like that word. Delighted because we have a...
He's talking about you, Christy. That's why he says it.
A friend, a mentor from afar, Dr. John Townsend is with us. Thank you for being on the program.
Hey, guys. Great to be here.
We're talking about a very important topic today that has really plagued our culture, and that is entitlement. Because I know for us, we do not want to raise entitled kids.
But that's just the culture, isn't it? Right? I mean,
I want to start with John. I want to throw the question over to you. What prompted you to start talking about entitlement?
Well, lots of things. Since a lot of my work is not only with families, but also with leadership, when I'm called in to work with a family or a business or a company or a church or whatever, I do kind of an analysis of what the struggles are. And lots of times the struggles are just maybe communication or maybe having a plan or structure. But more and more and more, I started noticing the problem was an attitude. And it was a toxic attitude. It was entitlement. It was tearing up families, tearing up marriages, and it was tearing up businesses. So I thought, okay, what's out there? And I couldn't find anything that really kind of captured what the issue was. So I thought, okay, it's time to write a book on it.
Can you define entitlement for us?
I do on page 19, Josh.
I want our audience to hear it because I love it.
Okay. It's a belief. It's a belief of two things, guys. It's a belief that, number one, that I am exempt from responsibility for my actions, not my fault. And my impact on you is not my fault. If I upset you, that's my fault, not my fault. So I'm exempt from responsibility. And secondly, that I'm owed special treatment. Mm-hmm. I get to be first in line at the water fountain. I don't get in line with the rest of the people. And just because I'm here on the planet, I need to be treated in a special way. Those two together are like kerosene and a match to a fire.
Wow. And are you seeing this, John? Like, did you see this more in a typical, like a certain generation? Are you seeing it in the generation to come, the ones that we're raising right now?
I get asked that so much, Christy. It's like, oh yeah, that's about that generation. And I go, no, it's not. It's in every generation. Mm-hmm. And you know, I have just seen that. I know I have like millennial friends and my kids' friends who are the coolest people I've ever met, hardworking, great parents, do it right, you know, have a work ethic and responsibility and ownership. And I know some people in their 80s that are just total nightmares. You don't want to even be around them.
Yeah.
So the problem is not a generational problem. It is a human problem. Mm-hmm. Ever since way, way back when our parents, Adam and Eve, decided they wanted some things that they wanted special treatment for, it's been a problem. So, you know, when people say, well, oh, it's a cultural issue. It's a cultural issue, but, you know, absent the cultural issue, we still have entitlement issues because it's part of our nature.
Hmm. Okay, so we're talking about entitlement. What would you say, like, what is the opposite of what entitlement looks like? Like, what would we, if we're looking for this in ourselves and also in our children, what would that look like?
Three things: gratitude, humility, and responsibility. Those are the opposite of the growth process. They are the antidote. And people that are grateful, thank you, God, for what you did. Thank my spouse for being kind to me. I thank my business for providing for me. People that are humble, meaning they have a self-image that's accurate. They don't think too highly or too lowly, as the Bible says. And people that are responsible, my life is my problem. I can't go looking for anybody else to take care of my problems. Those are the opposite.
And doesn't that sound so wonderful? Like, it's true. You just said those three words, and it just felt like, huh, hey, let's use Josh's favorite word right now. Those are delightful people to be around.
And they're delightful people because God designed the universe and the system to work that way. God, you know, you see all the way through the Bible about how, you know, gratitude's important and how taking responsibility and shouldering our burdens important and being humble with other people and God's important. And so it creates a good life and people get along and they raise cool kids and they're fun and they have great careers. So it's delightful because it makes life good, and entitlement makes life really hard for everybody.
Mm-hmm. And the irony, I think, as we're talking about entitlement, is that we're recording this episode in Orlando, Florida, on a vacation to Disney World. Mm-hmm. And we are being surrounded, like, it is, I don't know, do we want to call it the Mecca of, you know, young families who've descended on this place to give their kids the best, like, you know, the most magical experience. And you look around and you see a lot of terrible attitudes, a lot of mean and grouchy people, kids that are throwing fits because they don't want to do this and they want to do that. And you certainly see very little gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And how interesting that, I mean, I just, like, we're literally sitting in a Mickey Mouse bedroom right now recording this. That's what's so funny. I'm going to take a picture and just we'll send it to you because you can see this. Maybe we'll post it on social media so everyone can see that it's hilarious. But
so
it reminds me of a lot of plane trips I've been on because I travel a lot. I see the airport.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to get the most out of their hard-earned dollar. You know, and therefore they're pushing their kids. But how do we, as parents today, with our children, how do we raise them to be grateful? How do we raise them to be responsible? How do we raise them to be humble? Are there some practical, everyday kind of nuggets that we can grab a hold of and just begin, for those listening, that we can just begin to grab a hold of and apply?
Sure. In the book, I have several. In terms of parenting, there are three that really kind of are the hallmarks. The first one is we got to change our language. There's a phrase that when Barbie, my wife, and I are raising our kids, we stop using certain language, and one of those was I deserve. No more I deserve. I deserve a cell phone because they have it. I deserve dessert. Well, there are certainly things we deserve because, you know, the Bible says a worker is worthy of his hire. But we've been trained now just to say you deserve everything. You deserve a break today. You deserve, you know, a house if you want. You deserve everything. And there's just a lot of things out there that we don't deserve. Now, if it's our military, that's one thing. We got to help the people that are helping us there and people who are impoverished. But the attitude in families of I deserve, you got to change it. And we change it to this, I am responsible. Instead of I deserve an allowance, well, I'm responsible to do what it takes to get an allowance. I've got to be good to my brother and sister. I've got to clean up. I've got to change the dog's water. I've got to make good grades. I'm responsible. I deserve to stay up later. Well, that means I've got to be responsible by good conduct and good grades, and I've got to be a kind person. And we changed our children's language from I deserve this. We just said, well, no, we don't do that anymore. I'm responsible to do X, Y, Z, and it changed everything. The language you use, because I'm a big believer in neuroscience. I love neuroscience because it proves the Bible's right. And all the great, robust studies out there show that everything that the Bible says about relationships and family and parenting and career and all that, it's all true. Well, when you start to say different things and help your kids say different things, they start thinking different things. So you got to eliminate the I deserve complaint and go to I'm responsible. If I want to get these good things from my mom or my dad, I'm responsible to do X, Y, Z.
That's powerful. It is amazing how just the change of language changes so much.
Yeah. One of the ways that we have done that in our home is, you know, like with our son Landon, you know, instead of even just saying thank you, we will even just using the authority, like respecting authority and saying thank you, sir, or thank you, ma'am. And we're working on that language as it relates to how we address authority or how we address other people, even just beyond just saying thank you and you're welcome.
You just increase his chances of a great career in business. Because nobody does that. And the ones that do that, the bosses turn around and go, pay attention to that one.
Well, that's, and to be quite honest, I mean, that's what I look for in young folks, you know, that I want to be a part of what we're doing is how are they respecting other people? And man, it's amazing. Even just teaching them to hold a door for other people, you know, walking through the hotel or walking through wherever we are. And him holding that door and them saying thank you, him saying you're welcome, ma'am. Like that, it's just the praise we get for that because it's not as seen as much anymore in our culture today. You know?
Yep.
Well, and it shows, I think, just such, I mean, getting back to your 3 points, you know, the gratitude, responsibility, humility. I mean, I think it's just showing their humility of their, you know, their deference to authority. And it's so uncommon now that people actually do remark about it.
Yeah, what we would consider would be normal behavior of a human being. Now businesses look at him and go, that person's a rock star. So I always told my kids, if you learn this stuff, there's a lot of room at the top. Don't worry about it because, you know, there's not a lot of people being like you.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And it's just simple human behavior. I mean, it's common courtesy, the way that I see it. I mean, that's the way I see it, is this simple common courtesy, but it's...
I would call it uncommon courtesy, because it's really, it's not the norm like we would think it is, so you really give your kids an edge on life by teaching this stuff. The language is very important.
That's fascinating. So you said change our language. What's another one?
Mm-hmm. The second one is do hard things first. Do hard things first. Now, let me explain that. When you guys were, you know, well, your kids are how old now?
5 and 3. 5 and 3.
Okay. Now, when your kids sit down for dinner, and I'm sure Christy and Josh, you guys are great cooks. You make yummy stuff. And
Christy does. Josh doesn't.
Got it. Okay. Well, I'm in your camp, man. Do your kids say, "Oh, I don't want ice cream again. Where's the broccoli?" Mom, no ice cream. I need broccoli. And Chrissy, do you say, I'm sorry, you're not getting any broccoli until I see you finish that Neapolitan. Is that how it goes at the Straub household?
No, that is not
No. You say just the opposite, right? Which is what? Yeah.
You have to finish your broccoli if you want to get some ice cream, which I can't tell you how many times we've had to say. I mean, on vacation.
And should, and it should, and it's a good thing, and that's what great moms do. And if you told me, or great parents do, if you told me, no, we do the opposite. You know, we tell them they can have their broccoli, their ice cream first. I would say, well, your kids belong in foster care. This is not a good thing. So, bully for you. The kids are going to do great. Well, God set up that system as a reinforcement system. We're supposed to do difficult things, and then we get a prize afterwards. And that's just how he does things. I mean, if you look at Isaiah, say how Jesus did it. He said, chapter 50, he said he set his face like a flint for the path set before him. That he had some really, really, really hard things to do, but then there was good stuff afterwards. Mm. Now think about how it works in life. You know, you go to your office, and okay, it's Monday, so it's been a big weekend, and so you show up and you got to have your first coffee of the day and kind of schmooze in the, you know, in the coffee break room, then probably a second cup because it's been a long weekend. And then you go to your desktop and you fire it up. And then first thing you know, you've got ahead of you things like spreadsheets and reports you got to do and hard meetings with a client who's not happy with you and they're going to yell at you. So the first thing you got to do is to avoid all that, you got to check your inbox and clean it all out. Hmm. And so we clean out the inbox because you know why? Because there's probably going to be a prince from another country who wants to give you $50 million. And all he needs is your credit card, Social Security, no big deal. And then now in our world, the world of psychology, we call it obsessive avoidant behavior. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put off the hard stuff, the hard meeting, the spreadsheet, because I hate spreadsheets or whatever, the report. I'll just kick that down the road.
Yeah.
Well, what I found out, because I study successful people obsessively myself, because successful people have these habits that are great, and I want to learn so I can teach them and write them. I'll sit down with these really successful people, and not only just, you know, leaders, but successful parents who have done a good job or whatever. And I'll say, so how was your morning? They'll go, awful. What do you mean? Oh, man, I had to talk to a client that I was mad at us, had to make them happy. Plus, I don't like reports, had to make one of them. And I had a team meeting I didn't have time for, but you know, it was just a hard morning. And I say, oh, that's tough. How was your afternoon? They go, great, phenomenal. I mean, I got down with some of my most brainiac friends, and we planned some new strategies, and it was creative, and I love the people I love because they did the hard things in the morning and they had a good afternoon. That's how we should parent our kids. If you want to cure entitlement, we don't give them the ice cream first. We say, hi, how was school? Great. Take a little break for 15 minutes. Do your homework. Feed the dog. Help with the dishes or whatever, and you get your rewards later. Hmm. So do hard things first is just a law of God's universe that makes people grow up and be mature.
And I think one of the biggest mistakes we make as parents, and I'll admit we make this mistake in the Straub household too, is sometimes it's a lot easier for the parent to do the easy things rather than to do the hard things first. And so we just get into this pattern or this rut of tying our kids' shoes for them rather than getting them to tie it, or cleaning up their dishes after them rather than them cleaning up their own dishes and clearing their plate at the table, and so on and so forth. I mean, you can go on to a list of different things where it's just easier to make their bed for them, or it's easier to get them dressed in the morning, you know? And so we get into this habit of doing things for our kids rather than teaching them to do things for themselves.
Yeah, so that's so true, especially also with discipline and behavior issues. Like when Henry Cloud and I wrote Raising Great Kids, one of the things we say in the book is that parenting is not about right now, the crisis right now, the meltdown right now in the grocery store. Parenting is about the future, because you want your kid to one day come to you, or you want your kid's spouse to come to you when they're married and say, thank you, Josh and Christy, you raised some good person who loves me and respects me and is faithful and picks up their socks and they listen, and thank you for what you did. So you got to always keep in mind, there's some hard thing I got to do in the grocery store right now while they're melting down. And either I can say, here, have an Oreo, you know, which solves a little crisis, but it's going to create a problem with that spouse or that job later. Or I can can say what we had to do. You know, we saw so many parents, you know, just kind of pacifying their children when the children were misbehaving in public. And what we just kind of said early in the game, you're going to leave the restaurant, you're going to leave the grocery store, you're going to stand out here with me, and you're not going to have fun. And then when you choose to kind of stop melting down, they'll come back. And they missed a lot of restaurants.
Yeah.
But they learned how to behave in public and be nice people. Yeah. So, yeah, it's the hard stuff is the parent stuff where you go, oh, I don't want to set limits and have consequences. I'm too tired. Look at the future. You don't want to reap the whirlwind.
Oh, and it's so true, John, like in the sense that the longer you put it off, because I get that. Mm-hmm. Like I get the mom in the grocery store. I get the parents out to dinner. I mean, we're living in mm-hmm. that even right now. I mean, here we are. We're surrounded by family here. We're, you know, it's like, I don't want to get on them about this right now. Like we'll do it when we get back, you know, when we're in private. And it just keeps going. It snowballs. And you know, kids, if they sense there's an inch in the door, they're going to,
you
know,
the kid goes, oh, we're Republican. They're fatigued. Here's our chance.
Exactly. Like here, kids, hold here. Just look at my phone, you know, or whatever. I get it. But you do that too many times. And there are times when I get it, that's just maybe just necessary. And mm-hmm. you just don't have it in you at the time. But the longer we let that go, I mean, we're the ones, certainly the kids will pay for it in the long run, but we pay for it, you know, even in the short term, because this is not, it's something we're not tackling. Like we're not, and it will continue to present itself until we do.
Yeah. Bill Hybels, who was founder of Willow Creek Church and just his friend, and he has a great statement. He says that the universe is going southward. You know, like look at our bodies after 23, everything goes southward, right? And it's just the way it is. And the job of the parent and the leader is to put energy back northward. Hmm. So if we ignore all this stuff, it just doesn't tend to get better. It moves towards entropy and disorder.
Yeah.
But if we go, I got to stop. I know I'm tired, but I got to nip this in the bud and lovingly put the right consequence. I put in the energy to make them a better person.
I love that. Okay, so we talked about changing our language and doing the hard things first. What's the last one?
Keep inconvenient commitments.
What does help, that mean?
Help kids to keep their promises and, you know, what they say they'll do. When you look at the universe, God made it kind of based on promises. I mean, God promises a lot of stuff for us in the Bible. And in fact, before the Bible was called the Old and New Testament, it was called the Old and New Covenant. God said, I'm going to do something, and you can trust me, and I'm going to do what I say. And then we look in, you know, in countries, and countries have, you know, treaties between each other, so they don't invade each other's borders. And the world's a big mess because countries aren't respecting their treaties, their covenants, their promises to each other. You look at business, they make contracts, so somebody provides a service or a product, the other person fulfills it, and there's consequences if you don't, and that's how business works. And in marriage, there's the marriage vows, you know, rich or poor, better for worse, healthy or sick, where you say, I'm going to be with you no matter what. And life is glued together by love and promises, basically. When we love each other and love God and love the people we're supposed to love, and we keep promises, things really work well. Now, when we don't help our kids hold to promises and commitments, either their own, like I'll get this done by whatever time, or I won't hit Sally anymore, or whatever, or when we don't, we're teaching them their promises don't matter. And that creates entitlement, which is, you know, mom and dad are going to nag about this forever, but you know what? I can wait them out.
Hmm.
That's on the parent side. On the child side, it's sort of like, the excuse is, you know, the dog ate my homework. Well, now it's the dog ate my iPad. But but we have to teach the kids that, you know, excuses really don't work. When we say, you know, you said you'd be home at 10 if you're an older child, that's one thing. If you say, but what about the promises a child's got to make? Like, okay, you know, you said you would tie your shoes up and get this done and whatever. If we don't hold kids to the commitments they make, they learn, I really can do whatever I want. So the parents have got to keep to their commitments, and they're not fun to do, and help the child learn to keep their commitments, and the life works better.
Children, war. These two words should not go together. Imagine your child being orphaned because of war or being kidnapped and forced to become a child soldier in a rebel army. Who would help them? Exile International provides healing for 1,300 war-affected youth in Africa through art-focused trauma care, education, and discipleship. We empower child survivors of war to become leaders for peace. Join us in our Give Up to Give Back campaign. What can your family give up in order to bring healing to children wounded by war? Visit exileinternational.org/give.
You know, that what it reminds me of, or what that makes me think of, and even thinking about raising successful kids or thinking about land and being successful in the future. You know, one of the phrases I always use with others is, bring me a solution, not a problem. Right. And
there you go.
And that is the same concept that we want to instill in our kids. Bring me the solution, not the problem. And mm-hmm. and that's the to me, there's a correlation, there's a link or connection there between keeping inconvenient commitments and also finding a solution through that. Yeah.
Yep.
So thank you for all this wisdom, and these nuggets are so super helpful. I want to bring this out real quickly, because I think this is a testimony to who you are, and even you and Barbie's parenting skills. You now, for fun, are in a band with your sons. Is that correct? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we're in a band, and we're called the Bandits. Get it? Bandits? Kind of corny.
Yep. It's adorable.
Yeah. We've always been musical. I was kind of raised in a Von Trapp family. My parents, who both died last year, my mom was an opera singer. My dad was a jazz pianist. So we just kind of grew up musical, and Barbie has a musical family. So our kids loved sports and music. And so as they got older, we started playing together. So we are a three-piece mediocre power trio, and we play, well, you know, it's kind of like Hillsong. If you've ever heard like Led Zeppelin and the Queens of the Stone Age, it's a lot like Hillsong. So we just play this kind of stuff. And we play for a little, you know, for events and stuff in Southern California. We've got a bass player and we got a guitar player. I'm the guitar player. Ricky's the bass player. Benny's the drummer. We all three sing. And we have a blast. It's a joyful noise, I might say.
You guys are so fun, and truly, you have set an example for us. I know for me, just even seeing the connection you have with your boys from a distance, and even with Barbie. I mean, Christy and I have had the opportunity to be with you and Barbie and have dinner with you guys, and just get to know you, and just to see the you live your message, and for that, I'm grateful.
By the way, Barbie plays a mean tambourine. You got to give her that.
That's amazing. That's about as good as me. So, you're working on a number of different things right now, and I want to make sure our audience follows what you do, because I have been blessed to be a part of so many of what you are doing, what Henry's doing with Ultimate Leadership, but also you have a new initiative right now. You have Townsend Now, and mm-hmm. also all the other education that you have through the content that you've built through the years. Can you tell us about that? And we'll make sure we put all of these links that John's getting ready to talk about, we're going to put those in the show notes so that you can follow what he's doing and be a part of his incredible leadership.
Yeah, real excited about it. Townsend Now is the digital platform where we kind of figured out that, you know, every whatever you call them, thought leader who has a lot of content like myself, they're all putting out their videos about success and life and parenting and struggle and marriage and all that. And so we've got a good extensive video library of my material. But what we also have, this is the Now part, is now we have live coaching and live role play help. And you remember the role plays from Ultimate Leadership, Josh, where I train people to be a certified role play coach. For example, somebody goes, I don't know what to say to my kid at X, and they melt down whenever I do that. Well, they email us or our company or call us and say, okay, I got a problem and I know how to do it and the books aren't helping. one of our role play coaches says, yeah, I've got the expertise in that, and they do a Skype session. Maybe you're in Seattle, the role play coach is in Baltimore, and they talk about the conversation. I'm curious, you'll be the kid, and I'll be the parent, and they have the conversation. It's kind of miraculous when you really are in the moment with the role play. So we've got the role play part via Skype, we've got the videos, and we've also got assessments. I've written a number of self-assessments. How healthy are your boundaries? How healthy are you as a parent? How healthy is your marriage? Because people like to assess themselves. So that's the kind of digital life I'm spending a lot of time in the studio doing. And also for people that want to get ahead in their career, now there's the Townsend Institute, which is an online program based on my content where a person can get one of three masters. They can get a master's in counseling, a master's in coaching and consulting, and a master's in leadership or some combination. Or they can kind of cherry pick courses that are interesting to them, but it's fully online. We're affiliated with Concordia University, Irvine, California, and we're really excited about the student body we've got. And so some people go, well, I don't need a master's, but I do need more training. Come see us. We'll just help you with the courses. Some people say, no, I do need the degree. So the Institute and the Townsend Now are the two things we're really doing a lot of right now.
That's incredible. John, I knew about the Townsend Now, but I didn't know about the Institute. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, we when we saw what was out there, really wanted, I mean, for so long, it's kind of been online and quality have not been seen as, you know, consistent. And we really wanted to make a highly relational one. So I am really involved with the students. They not only do they have their time with their professors, but also I make a bunch of videos targeted to them that show, you know, I'll make a video on parenting or a video on counseling or a video on loss or a video on success. So they're always seeing my videos. Plus, several times a year, I just get online with the whole student body. Okay, here's some content. And you know, we've got the big screen up there in the studio, so it looks like the Brady Bunch. All the students' faces are showing up, you know. And I'll just say, okay, here's my content about whatever. What are your questions? Okay, well, Bill from Omaha has a question. Okay, Bill. And then Susie from Hawaii has this question. And so people feel like they're really in a real experience with me. It's not just like, well, he just started this stuff and left. So it's highly, highly, highly relational. Plus, we've got fellows, and our fellows are the experts that we have come speak to us, like Henry Cloud does. People like Jim Daly, who was the CEO of Focus on the Family. People like John and Julie Gottman, the leading marital researchers of the world. We've got people really high end like that who come and lecture to our students. So we're just having a great time.
I love that. And I love that you're relational. I love that you are in the program with them. And I just want to say to those of you listening, that's who John is. You know, those role plays at Ultimate Leadership were some of the most helpful exercises that I have ever been through in my life for anything. And I have a PhD in counseling, and because they're so super practical. So make sure you check out Townsend Now. We would just to be able to experience some of that is fascinating. And you even post some of those on your Facebook. So you can check out Dr. John Townsend on Facebook as well.
Yep.
You'll get to see some of those examples played out. They're really fascinating.
And then there's Townsend Leadership Program for people, parents that are also in business or a pastorate or, I mean, every parent's a leader. We have a year-at-a-time program with people we've trained all around the country to help them, people be better leaders personally, like with their EQ, listening skills, and having feedback, as well as strategically, how they can be a better person, be more successful. Townsend Leadership Program has centers all over the country. So those are kind of the three things that we do.
Okay, John, I'm kind of pulling this back in, but I just keep thinking, you know, as we're even for moms, for dads, as we're raising our kids, you know, this might be a really, it's a stretch for us, right? To jump back in, maybe into schooling, into taking some courses, into pushing ourselves. But I know in the Entitlement Cure, you talk about taking a meaningful risk each week. Mm-hmm. And that I don't know is the first step to success. And I think, I mean, can you just real briefly as we close, just address those two things? Because I think that could be a really helpful next step for a lot of us.
Absolutely. You know, the best gift you can give your child, whether your child is 6 weeks old or 17 years old, is a growing parent. Mm. because you and I can't give them what we don't possess.
Yes.
And so many people put their entire life on hold, you know, like, well, it's all about the kids. And I understand that. But the research says that the child-centric family is not a healthy family, mm-hmm. because now the people who are the source of love and truth and wisdom and health, they're empty and they can only give to their emptiness. So the child-centric family doesn't work. The family-centric family works very well. Mm-hmm. So you got to keep growing. You've got to be working on, I mean, the main areas are certainly spiritually, but then also with self-care. You know, you got to, if you need coaching or counseling, you need somebody mentoring you to make sure you're growing personally and emotionally and all that. You also got to look at your career. Are you growing in your career? Are the things that keep your brain going? Because if you don't use it, you lose it. Then there's also just hobbies and passions and avocation. And then there's service. Those are the big five. Are you helping the poor at some level, even if you don't have a lot of time? Are you interested in people in you know, sex trafficking or helping people with, you know, children's ministry or whatever? If you do those five and engage with them to whatever level you can, your children get a rich, rich experience.
And oh my goodness, like I really feel like for Josh and I, that has been those five areas have been probably the focus of our, because you know, it's almost like you transition from just survival mode, and I get that. We've been there. You know, when you're raising babies and toddlers, it's just kind of surviving sometimes, but you start to transition out of that into growth mindset, and it is incredible the life that brings to your family and your kids. It is so contagious. And thank you for pushing us and encouraging us that there's more and better and we can grow and we're not just stuck as who we are, but there's so much potential.
Kids need to grow up at a dinner table where mom and dad are saying and doing interesting things. It gives them something to aspire to. If they just grow with mom and dad whose life is on hold and they're doing nothing but talking to the kids don't get the rich experience. You got to be having a great life to talk to the kids about.
Amen. That was beautifully said.
John, I want to thank you so much. Our podcast is all about helping families live, love, and lead well. And not only have you been the epitome of that, you've also poured into our lives, and you continue to challenge us from a distance so much. And so thank you for being with us, and thank you for challenging everybody listening today.
Absolutely, guys. It's great.
All right. And again, if you're listening, check out inthistogetherpodcast.com. You can submit a question. If you guys have any questions about today's episode or that have arisen from today's episode, make sure you visit, hit that submit a question button, and go ahead and ask it. We are now doing Q&A episodes and would love to answer your questions as well. So until next time, we will continue to enjoy our family and raise responsible, grateful, and humble children. We'll talk. See you next week. Check out InThisTogetherPodcast.com for previous episodes and to subscribe. If you have a question or a topic that you'd love us to cover, hit the submit button right there on the page.
And we would also love if you would leave us a review. Your reviews mean so much to us, and they help people learn about the podcast. And we would love, too, if you'd find us on Instagram and Facebook at Dr. Josh and Christy, or our website, drjoshandchristy.com.
Until next time, press in and enjoy the moment.